I feel rather burdened in speaking the words I feel the Lord has given me this evening. Let's turn again to John chapter 21. Well, we'll read from John chapter 20 first. Verses 30 to 31, which we're familiar with. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And then in chapter 21, and breaking into this chapter at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? We've been thinking of these signs presented to us in these words of John, written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We've had the Lord Jesus brought before us in his greatness, as the Christ, as the Son of God. But I would just like to reflect these two wonderful truths about the Lord Jesus back upon us. And I would like to take you to Galatians chapter 2. This echoes in a way what we heard earlier in the conference in the ministry, chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, of course, but these words can be taken up by each one of us, this one whom we've seen as the Son of God in all his greatness, a man here, but truly the Son of God, bringing before us his deity, but in manhood, something perhaps difficult to grasp, but nevertheless true. This one, he has, in the words of the Apostle Paul, loved us. Each one of us in this hall tonight can say, this one, so great, loved me. And he gave himself for me. Such was the value he put on me. Why did he put that value upon me? Simply because he loved me. We've been speaking briefly in our readings about the difference between filial love and agape love. The love which we sometimes call brotherly love. A love which finds an attraction in the other. but the agapeo love, that love which is characteristic of God, which flows forth from itself because God is love. That's his nature. And he loves, we might even say he loves to love. It's a constant love. And each one of us has benefited from it. And this is what this verse brings before us here. So great the love of the Son of God that he loved me, he loved you, and he gave himself. Each one of us can say, he gave himself for me. Yes, Christ loved us and gave himself for us. We read in Ephesians chapter 5. And also in the same chapter, Christ loved the assembly and gave himself for it, for her. Sometimes we love to put it that way, but it says it in the actual language. But the wonderful thing I want to stress here is it's a love for each one of us personally. This one so great, he's loved you and me so much, he gave himself for us. And this is an individual matter. And Paul can write here, I am crucified with Christ. What I was in Adam, what I was in the flesh, what I was naturally. Because I believed on the Lord Jesus through wonderful grace that touched my heart to trust him as my Savior, has gone. It's been crucified with Christ. It's gone at the cross. But I'm still living here. I'm still living here in this world. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is coming out in me, or he should be, as we have communion with him. And this is what we've been stressing. And I'm sure, well, I speak for myself, that as we've been pondering this matter of how important these things are, how vital they are, how real they are we really not simply knowing them to be true as to fact, but are they being worked out in our lives? Are we enjoying them? Are we occupied with the Lord Jesus? Are we truly depending upon him? As we do so, he will come out in our lives in a practical way. By faith. It's not just obedience, it's dependence. It's a matter of just casting all upon him and seeking to live according to his mind and will. The one who always pleased his God and Father when he was here in this world. We want to be like him. We can never match his perfection, of course, but we can be more and more like him as we go through our lives. And this should make us conscious of the fact that everything we are is dependent upon him. There's nothing which we can say is of me, which enables me to be for the Lord Jesus in this world. It's all got to come from him. And as we let him work it out in our lives, we shall live for his glory. But we've also seen the Lord Jesus presented as the Christ, the anointed, the one who has accomplished and will yet accomplish everything for the will and glory of God in this universe. And then perhaps that makes us think of one another, not just ourselves. And I've been drawn to think of two verses, one in Romans chapter 14. Let's just read verses 15 to 18. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth should read the Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. How do we value one another? Here's the possibility of a brother who knows that meat in itself is not an issue. He feels able to eat meat. Perhaps he's a Gentile who doesn't have the same concerns that a brother who was born a Jew might have. And he, as it were, flaunts his liberty to eat meat in front of another believer who doesn't have the same liberty. And that brother is grieved. And the question is, are you walking charitably? Are you walking according to love? If you do that, the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. It doesn't mean that we can send a brother to a lost eternity. That's not the thought here. But the thought is here of, well, I use a word I read, wrecking him as far as his Christian life is concerned. Stumbling him to such an extent that he loses his way in living for the Lord Jesus in this world, because you've done something which has brought this grieving effect upon him that's caused him to go out of the way. And as a result, his life of testimony for the Lord is spoilt, perhaps very significantly indeed. But the verses, the words I wanted to emphasize was, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Do we see one another as the objects of the love of God? The Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for them. Christ died for one another. If he died for our brethren, if he put value upon them so much that he died in order to save them, should we not put value upon them too? Or may this keep us back from doing that which would spoil, wreck, injure another believer's testimony for the Lord. There's a similar thought, I think, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. This is in connection with idols. The possibility, not that I look down upon a brother who doesn't have the same liberty as me, look down upon a sister who isn't able perhaps to do the things I feel able to do, and I perhaps despise them. I don't think about their welfare. I think only of my liberty. I value them little. And as a result, I do something which sends them out of the way. But this is doing something that they might see as an example to them. And they do it, but without faith. And as a result, they find themselves compromised by their own conscience before a holy God, a holy and righteous God. And this is what the apostle is speaking about here. He's speaking about eating meat offered to idols, perhaps even in the idol house. And verse 11 says, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. If the Christ has put so much value upon you and me that he died for us upon the cross, the one who is the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he has done that for that person, am I not to treat that person with care, both in terms of how I behave before them in a way which might offend them, and in terms of giving them an example that they might follow without having the faith to do so. And as a result, it says in verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. And when we look at the Lord Jesus as the Son of God and the Christ, and when we see things in this point of view, that he gave himself for us, that he died for our brethren, then surely it will cause us to walk in dependence upon him through throughout our lives, and also take great care in regard to one another, that we promote one another's blessing spiritually in our lives day by day. Now, turning back to John's Gospel, where we read, when we're looking in chapter 20, just a bit before, chapter 21, just where we were reading this afternoon, it struck me about Simon Peter that he exercised this charismatic aspect of his character. He said, I. We live in an I generation. Some of us have got iPhones, iPads. You know, it's all indicative, isn't it, in its little way, of the fact that it's me. It's the me generation we belong to today. People say, I want me time, time for myself. And those kinds of expressions show that the world today has become, in a very special way, quite me-centered. It's what I want to do. And in a way, something of this comes out in the way Peter behaves. The Lord Jesus, when we read back in Matthew's Gospel, had told them to go to Galilee. He would go ahead of them. He said nothing about fishing. They had gone to Galilee in obedience to the Lord, but that dependence on the Lord was lacking. You see, when the Lord had said that to them, John had replied, you can check this out in Matthew's Gospel, Peter had said to the Lord, you know, I won't deny you. He wasn't listening to what the Lord said. He was telling the Lord what he wasn't going to do and what he was going to do. Very often we're like that. We're not really listening to the Lord. And here the fruit of it is that he says, I go fishing. And these other disciples followed him. And how common that is with us. We tend to follow the voice of someone who is influential, maybe has a strong will, maybe has a good plan. But is it the Lord's will? Well, here in these verses, as we saw this afternoon, they said unto him, we also go with thee. And actually, some of these men weren't even fishermen. When did Nathanael ever haul a net into a boat? And yet he ended up fishing in this boat all night. And this shows us how we need to always follow the Lord, listen to his voice. And then we will be in the place he wants us to be, that he's enabled us to fulfill for his will. We won't be acting out of our capacity, acting out of his will. But we saw how when the Lord Jesus stands there on the shore, and they see him in that early morning, he's immediately ready to help them. He speaks to them. They don't know who he is, but they say to his question, children, have ye any meat? Children, what a tender expression of affection. These ones were out of the way. They were doing something they shouldn't have been doing. But the Lord, he takes care for them. And in this way, he's an example to us all to take care for one another. Have ye any meat? He touches on the point that they had sought to do. They had gone to fish and they hadn't got any meat. They hadn't got any fish. And they say, no. They admit to where they had gone wrong. They admit to the fact that in going wrong, they had nothing to show for all their labours that night. And the Lord Jesus, surely, as we saw this afternoon, is showing us an example of how we should take care for one another. In Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of recrimination, bringing home to that person just what they've done wrong. I confess, I've probably done that. But no, it says, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. We can all go wrong. But those who are close to the Lord can only be used by the Lord to do this if they keep close to the Lord. None of us can act on the grace that we were given yesterday. We need the grace that we're given today. And those who are spiritual are the ones who are in the Lord's grace at the moment. The Lord wants to use them. And because of that, he can take their words and apply them to another. Considering thyself, lest also thou be tempted. Go on, bear ye one another's burdens. Later on in this chapter, we read that each man should carry his own load. That is a responsibility each one of us have got. The Lord has laid upon us a responsibility. We're responsible to carry that out. But at the same time, there are those burdens of life with which we can help one another so that we might be kept together in this wonderful truth that we've been thinking of too, keeping diligently the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Moving on together because we do need each other. So let's take care for one another. And perhaps going back to John's Gospel, we see an example of that in Peter. Because where we read in John chapter 21, Peter's been restored now publicly by the Lord. The others have seen it. They can have confidence in the Lord's words. The Lord has said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him, feed my sheep. And we never see the question of Peter's denial of the Lord ever brought up by the other disciples with Peter. They've accepted the Lord's commission to Peter. He's been restored. And when we're in a situation where someone has been restored to the Lord, we ought never to go back to a failure and bring it up again with that person. It's been dealt with. Forgiveness has been given to someone. Perhaps they've fallen short and there has had to be an assembly decision. Once that has been dealt with, that should be where everything else stops in terms of accusation or anything like that. And if we do still have negative thoughts in our hearts about someone and we can't seem to get free of them, we should take them to the Lord and say, Lord, take them away from me. Negative thoughts about one another can be used by the devil to weaken the testimony and to divide brethren. The brethren for whom Christ died. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices, we're told in the scriptures. Paul tells us that, but often we act as if we are. May we not be those who inadvertently allow the devil to split the saints of God for reasons which are not right. But here in these words, we read that the Lord Jesus said to Peter in verse 19, follow me. Simple words, follow me. And Peter turned round. And he sees the disciple Jesus loved following. John's following the Lord. As we heard this afternoon, this expression, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is always used in connection with a positive thing about John. John was following the Lord. He wasn't looking around. He was keeping his eye on the Lord and he was following him. But Peter, despite the word, Lord's words to him, he turns round and he sees John. Now, some people have thought this is a certain amount of inquisitiveness born of perhaps some kind of envy of John on the part of Peter. But I don't think it is. I think Peter truly loved John. We see them working together in the book of Acts. Peter was interested now in what the Lord had for John. In that sense, this is a positive matter. And he said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? But the Lord Jesus says, if I will that he tarry till I come, because the Lord Jesus had explained to Peter that Peter was going to die, just as Peter said he would do for the Lord. And the Lord Jesus says, yes, you will die. And he explains to him the way he will die for the Lord. And Peter's interested in knowing what will happen to John. And the Lord says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow. And the Lord adds this word, thou, me. He emphasizes Peter's particular responsibility to follow the Lord. And I'm sure the truth of this is very much that it's as we follow the Lord, keep our eye on the Lord, that our hearts and our thoughts in regard to our brethren will also be in order. Because the Lord loves us all. And as we follow the Lord, go the path he wants us to go, it will result in love for one another. We need to keep our eye upon the Lord. This is what happened with Peter. Peter, I'm sure, put this into practice. We know he failed again. Failed again in Antioch, as recorded by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2. He wasn't perfect, but he was set on a course which the Lord used wonderfully, not only in feeding the flock of God, as we read from his own words in 1 Peter chapter 5, but in preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost with power, in bringing home to the people of Israel the fact that they had denied the Lord Jesus, even though he, in his way, had denied the Lord Jesus. He had the power and authority to be able to do that. Why? Because he was following the Lord. Then we find him serving the Lord with John. Everything is in order. But he had to be reminded, follow thou me. And that's what I have to be reminded, to follow the Lord. As I follow the Lord, as you follow the Lord, our relationships with one another will be in order. And what we get in Philippians chapter 2, with which I close, will be worked out in us. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, if there be therefore, reading from verse 1, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. Yes, he had received the fruits of the Philippians' love for him in their gift to him. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Make my joy complete. How? That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Can we see Christ in one another? We surely can. There's something of Christ in each one of us, for his glory and for our blessing. But what does he then do? He turns us to the Lord Jesus as the perfect example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then, once again, the glory of the Lord Jesus is brought before us. One so great is our perfect example, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If we can be like the Lord Jesus, if we can focus our hearts and our minds on him, I speak to myself firstly, then we shall see each other in this positive light that the Lord Jesus sees each of us. We saw this afternoon, he didn't use words of recrimination against his disciples, even though we might say, humanly speaking, he had every right to do so. But he instructed them in a gracious way. May I do that? May you do that? May we never disparage one another. May we seek to promote Christ in each one of us for his glory until he comes for us.